Oh, that means that Jill Erchek is here. And we've been talking about sitcoms from the 70s and the 80s. Yeah. I have a feeling you and I are fond of our childhoods.
Oh, my God. Yes. I feel like I go back instantly. Just this song, Dreamweaver.
Yeah, me too. Takes me back. I also think Wayne's World, too. It makes me think of Wayne's World.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
It is in that movie.
You know, they say that nostalgia means so much to us because we remember a time period in our lives that we really liked, not the stuff that we liked. It's not the movie wasn't as good as we think it is.
Shut up.
It was the time.
Right. No,
yeah, you're right, Craig. That makes sense.
Don't they? Yeah, I think that's
because
we're starting to remember who we were and what we liked about that time.
That time in your life. Yeah. True.
Fine. I loved the movie Dirty Dancing when that came out.
Did you watch it again years later and think
I have not? Well, that's another movie. There's an abortion.
Was a rough one.
There's some stuff going on. I mean, not that we shouldn't deal with those topics, but you think about a teeny bopper movie. You think about like a Patrick Swayze. You know, don't put baby in the corner. It's
just, and that musical is just even more just crazy.
Do they have the abortion in that?
Yeah, they
too?
Do. It's in the musical.
Ooh, it's very strange.
It's dancing and singing and an abortion.
Matt, did your show have any of those very special episodes? What's your favorite sitcom, Matt?
Well, I don't. It's first off, I just want to say, Patty, I did get to interview you briefly when I was a freelance journalist. You and Steve Cochran, some 7-8 years ago,
on
your Walpole show. So lovely to hear you on the radio. And I know for certain that I will be listening to, or watching one particular sitcom from a Patty Vasquez.
Thank you.
But the one that I always keep going back to that I can watch over and over without ever getting tired of, and I don't even know if this really qualifies as a sitcom per se, is Community, because it completely sort of, I think, goes against the entire sitcom form, and it almost mocks it in a way. And I consider myself a bit of a nerd anyways, and it just, so all the pop culture references and the movie references and the TV references are great, and not to mention the fact that, you're talking about Big Bang Theory, and I watched a little bit of it, but I got to a point where Big Bang just, like, it just becomes that stereotypical, like, the character of Sheldon Cooper is not a believable nerd, whereas on the flip side, you look at, like, at the character of Abed, like, and Danny Putty is just great. I think he's actually from Chicago, too, but he plays, it's a very similar character to Sheldon, but it's more believable. It's something where he's a completely socially awkward individual, but because he's part of this commune, each season, in fact, each episode, there's something new that he learns and is different and is able to socialize with these different people.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, Matt, Jill has a question.
Hi, Matt. When I first started watching Big Bang, I told my husband, I said, this is just too made up. I mean, it seems too obvious that they're acting. He said, give it a little while. It was Howard that actually I found funny in this particular episode that got me hooked. But I know what you're saying. It took me a while to get into it because of Sheldon. Now I appreciate him, but you're looking more for the believability factor, which I completely understand.
Well, yeah, it's just sort of a it just becomes just a typical sort of, it's not an updated, and it's sort of like mainstream something that for a while was just always mocked and made fun of.
Sure.
And it's funny, too, that I mentioned the difference between, or the sort of like difference and similarities between Abed and Sheldon. But the character when Sheldon was actually in, like, those, like, they were trying to get him out of, like, one of the ball pits, and he's sort of hopped up on sugar or something or whatever, and he's bouncing all over doing his Bazinga thing. There was an episode of Community, I think it was from the one that was on when they did it on Yahoo Screen, where there was a giant pile of Frisbees for some reason, and Abed was hiding underneath, and he pops up, and he screams Bazinga, which I thought was just a complete, it sort of affirmed my theory on it all. But the real reason why I stopped watching Big Bang too was, like, halfway through the fifth season, what's his name, Raj, goes on a date with a deaf woman, and it kind of became sort of now that, like, nerds are cool, they can then make fun of other people, and it kind of just became mean.
Interesting. Well, it's interesting. Thank you so much, Matt. And it's good to hear from you again. I do remember the interview, and I look forward to hearing from you again. Before I let you go, I want to let you know that that's the thing. The biggest note we get from ABC in the writing of my series is make sure it's grounded in reality.
Yeah.
And so that's,
you have to relate.
That goes to what I think Matt's talking about. Have a good night, Matt. We'll talk to you again soon. More after this on 720 WGN. It's time for Dream Weaving with Jill Erchek. She's live in the Allstate Showcase Studio riding sidecar for as long as we can keep her. You're welcome for the whole show. Can we keep you the whole show?
You possibly could.
Oh, I like that. Now we're talking.
Yeah. I needed to get out.
Yeah, just tell Dan or who. Is someone watching DJ tonight?
Oh, yeah. Well, Dan's home.
Yeah. So Patty wouldn't let me go.
They're both sleeping
now. We bolted the door. There you go. They don't even know.
He doesn't care.
Well, this is what becomes the hard part, isn't it? You're like, well, if I stay up, then I still have to get up, right? But it's one day.
Oh, you mean tomorrow?
Yeah.
Well, I know that Dan went to bed.
Right.
So
he can get up.
Sleep in. Yeah.
Oh, see?
That's a beautiful feeling.
It is. What? You slept. After Declan was born, and there were some struggles after Declan was born, but after he was born, like, all bets were off for me. I did, like, if I heard Declan or Griffin start to get up, mm-hmm. I would just not even move.
Act like you don't hear it.
Yeah, I didn't hear it, you know?
Yeah.
And when Steve would get up, I'd be like, I mean, just this wave of relief.
Yeah.
And, like, I never felt guilty about it. Because you know why? I had two babies.
I had babies.
Yes. I made people.
I am taking notes. Thank you, both of you.
You're very welcome.
Yep, when I have the children.
And here was the thing. But when Steve would say, can you get him? I knew that he was maxed out and I would get up and do it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, so if he said, hey, can you get up and get him? I would. You know, so, but otherwise I would just wait. It sounds terrible.
We were talking about, and I won't talk about it, but there was an I Love Lucy episode about that where they both pretend they don't hear little Ricky.
Oh, really?
So this goes back to Jesus's time, by the way.
I think so.
Let's pretend we're sleeping.
You know, I believe, can you check for me? I saw a post on Instagram of Desi and Lucy. I think that the anniversary of Desi Arnaz's death, it was not too long ago, and they had a picture of their wedding day.
Okay.
You know, cutting their cake or something. And there was a post from like a quote from Lucy, you know, their daughter Lucy,
right.
Who said that that Lucille Ball had actually called like in the hours before he passed away, within the day,
okay,
to say that, you know, I still love you, and like apparently they tried to still be friends even after their divorce. So just that you mentioned
that's
Lucy and Desi, because that's another show that I know it's such an older show, but
love
that, for me, that's like because I get myself into so much trouble in real life.
Yeah.
The idea for the sitcom that we're creating is a little bit of like Lucille Ball. If she was like on a social mission, you know, like
sure.
If she felt like she had to correct people and get and sort of interject herself right. into situations she doesn't belong, that would be kind of who
well. She does I am. Interject herself in situations
yeah,
she doesn't belong.
That's what I do. That's what I do. I correct people all the time. 312-981-7200. You know, you've been having dreams that are a little bit weird, and you've been wondering what they mean. Jill will talk you through them, and so I'll start with mine.
Okay,
Craig, do you have any dreams too?
I'm trying to remember, but I feel like I have shades of one. I don't know if that'll be enough.
I had one on Monday. I didn't even need to write it down because it's the most intense dream that I've had in a long time. Because I've told you every time we do this segment, I always tell you I don't remember them. Because of course we dream every night. It's whether or not mm-hmm. we remember them.
Right.
And part of it, I think you and I have talked about how it's really your brain kind of processing whether it's something that happened that day or maybe mm-hmm. an old experience that you're still trying to work out. Did I ever tell you that after I saw Titanic, when the movie came out, this was a period of my life where I had very vivid dreams.
Okay.
And for weeks, I was trying to solve the problem of how to save more people on the boat.
Interesting.
Like, I had all these different things that I kept trying to do. And I don't know what the other things were. The night that I had the last dream, you remember she has the axe?
Right.
I'm running through the hallways, just chopping doors off of rooms.
Okay.
And giving them to people so they could all float on a piece of wood.
Oh.
And then I fell asleep after that. I was okay. I mean, I started sleeping without worrying about that problem. Yeah. It was bothering me that, Leo couldn't, all he had to do is just balance.
I know.
Or even take turns or something. I don't know.
Jack, there's a boat.
It bothered me. So the dream I had on Monday, there were a lot of vivid things that were happening. It felt like there was a lot of, like, I was being chased, and I end up in a high-rise hotel on a balcony, and someone's coming after me, and I have to jump off the balcony into a pool of water, right? And I make it. I'm fine, but like it feels like it's not like the water is right below me. It looks like it's farther away. Like I have to like leap
right,
for it
to get it.
Yeah,
right,
and okay. And even the falling. Like usually, if you ever had dreams where you're falling, that usually wakes you up.
Yeah, you wake up startled.
I didn't wake up, and I don't even remember like coming out of the water or anything. All I know is like I was in this. It kind of jumped around a little bit. And the next thing I know, I'm sort of in this small town. And what I'm, the way I understand is that we've decided to start taking our kids to this smaller town outside of Chicago. Like we're traveling a distance to take Griffin and Declan to different schools. And I think it's partly because we've been told there's this really good program for children with special needs. And there's a good program for Griffin where he's going to be able to sort of expand his horizons and stuff.
You've been told that in real life?
No, this is in the dream.
Oh, this is in the dream?
Yeah.
We've
decided to go, like we're not living there. We're actually like sort of like commuting an extraordinary distance to go there. So I don't know what this has, why I start out diving off a balcony and then I'm in this small town all of a sudden commuting my kids to a school. But I go to the school where Declan is, and there's like a lot, there's three different rooms. There's one with like younger kids with special needs, and there's a raised room for like almost the middle kids, kind of like the third to maybe fifth, sixth graders, and then the bigger kids up through eighth grade in a back room. There's only like three or four in there. But in Declan's room, there's like a couple of stairs up, and I'm watching him, you know, like I do sometimes if I go visit his class or like a, you know, play group with him. And Declan doesn't play with other kids, right? So, and I'm like just watching him, hoping, you know, really kind of hoping he'd play with the other kids and stuff. And, you know, but just, you know, this, it's Declan and he's doing his thing and he's off in the behind a table and he comes around and this kid sees him and he grabs him and he like takes him and he throws him down the stairs that are, and I was like, there's nobody like guard, like sort of like in charge of the classroom. And I, and just, and I'm, and that's when I woke up, like with my heart just right. Cause like Declan's neck was turned and it was,
and you couldn't do anything.
I couldn't do
time.
Anything. Yeah. Like I'm going over and like, I'm screaming and you know, trying to figure out like why they haven't, someone's not monitoring these kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I woke up with like, that's, wow. I woke up with my heart racing. See, everybody else has like dragons in their dreams and you know, they're like dinosaurs and stuff. And I'm like, my kid gets shoved down some stairs.
Well, I think these were a couple of different dreams maybe rolled up into one,
right.
You know, you have those like.
Yeah.
What is wrong with my brain?
Right.
Being chased is how it started. Do you remember who you were being chased by?
I don't. I felt like it was like just like you're sort of like out of casting gangsters. You know what I mean? Like just guys in suits with guns kind of a thing. You know?
Well, usually I think when you're being chased, you're usually in some sort of panic. Like, not that you're panicked in real life, but you got a lot going on.
Right.
I mean, good things.
Right.
But okay. The high rise is good. You're up high. Always being high in a dream is always good. Now, granted, you did jump, but you jumped in water.
Right.
Water is emotional. Water is emotions.
Okay.
So I'm assuming you landed safely. You said you don't remember that. So it sounds to me like you're high up, and then you maybe sometimes come down a little, take a dive, but you're landing in emotions. It's good.
Okay.
I think it's the rise of everything that's going on with you. I think that is actually not a bad thing.
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense to you.
No, it kind of does. It, like, especially because for me, water is so important. You know, like growing up as a swimmer and stuff.
And water is the essence of life,
right?
So
oh,
in dreams, water is like life. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a water sign. I'm a Pisces. That's a whole different thing. And I think that water is movement. You move through water,
right?
So that's a good dream, simply because you started high, you jumped. Maybe you. I think you always maybe. Scared about something or nervous about something, but you always come down to reality and you come back into your emotions and you even out.
Okay.
That's what I'm going with that.
That makes sense.
The commuting to the school.
It's almost like grounded in reality more, isn't it? A little bit the kids stuff.
No, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that's just your everyday life, but I think that's how you're just getting through life with Declan, which has to be, you know, not the normal motherhood with the struggles that you have. Three rooms. That's interesting. You remember specifically three rooms. Three usually in dreams is the Trinity. So I'm not really sure what that has to do with anything. But Declan's room, was he in that small room?
Yeah, he was in
the first room.
No, he's in the second room. The one that's kind of like elevated.
The one that's elevated. Of course, he's elevated because he's your son and he's great and he's wonderful. So I'm thinking he was elevated. And just your fears as a mother, I'm sure, of somebody pushing him down and you couldn't help. And that's why you woke up. I think that's just reality
feeling
of your
helpless.
Everyday life.
Right.
So I think those two dreams merged and I think they're separate.
Okay. Right. They just felt like they were in the same night because I didn't wake up after the because usually I wake up when I'm falling off of something or dive, you know.
Sure.
Have you ever done that? Like you like jerk away.
All the time.
Such a scary feeling.
All the time.
What is falling supposed to be? I mean, I know you said it was in this one. It's kind of, you know, having to come away from the anxiety.
There's a couple of different theories on it. Some people think it's you actually coming out, like when you're falling asleep, like your spirit actually coming out and then coming back
in.
It
feels that way.
Yeah, you get into that twilight zone.
Yeah.
That's one theory, that your soul's like literally just going on its journey while you go to night land, okay? Mm-hmm. And that click you feel, or that startle that you feel, is it coming back. But other people think it's just your brain not ready to shut down yet. And ooh. So your brain makes you do something to make you wake up because you're not fully relaxed.
You're not ready yet.
Yeah.
Have you ever taught anybody who does astral projection? I've always wondered about that. It's just
I knew a guy who was actually a radio guy. He had since passed, but he said he did it all the time. He was able to do it. Mm-hmm. Now, I told you I had an out-of-body experience once, and it scared the heck out of me, and I never want to have that again.
Because you couldn't feel like you could control where you were
because
going?
Because I knew it was happening, and it was so vivid. It's more vivid than I'm sitting here now.
Ugh.
I'm like, how am I aware of this, but sleeping at the same time, but I was awake. It was very bizarre. It freaked me out, and I stopped it in mid.
Right,
I stopped it.
You just like said, this is not happening.
This I won't let it happen because it freaked me out. But some people do it.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it, but I think that takes training and a lot of mental concentration.
You have to really.
Well, or just a bunch of tequila.
Or a bunch of tequila. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if tequila would help.
But Patty,
that's more spinning. That's not the same thing.
Right. It's not. Yeah. That's different. Yeah.
It might help.
You have to go to break. I had a dream about you.
Okay.
And I only remember you flying around like
off
you
of a
were
balcony.
Flying around and you weren't dressed in a lot of clothes. You were in a dress though.
I was wearing a dress, a very flimsy dress.
It more on the top than the bottom. I'm like, that's Patty.
Get some
I don't
clothes
know
on,
why
girl.
You were flying around and you were going up to people and like flying up to them and like entertaining them.
Like Tinkerbell was I?
Yes, Tinkerbell. And I remember thinking that's so cool.
Oh, there you go.
I don't remember the rest.
Because a full audience is too much. I mean, I think it'd be better if I could just coast from person to person.
I don't remember the rest.
I like that. I'm flying through your dreams.
You were flying through my dreams.
312-981-7200. Share your dreams with Jill. We'll take a break and come back and oh. Yeah, that's my phone apparently telling me it's time to take a break. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late, and Jill Erchek is dream weaving live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We also have Knife and Tine bringing us tasty treats and some mulled wine. Is it mulled wine, Nikki Allen?
Yes.
It's spectacular. We're already happier in here, aren't we?
It just hits so the spot good. When it goes down.
Is that one of the beverages for your drink, like the Dickens
yes,
event
ma'am.
Coming up on December 13th? You can go to Facebook, the Knife and Tine Facebook page, and register. There's going to be five different, it's like a walkabout, right? Inside the restaurant, we have different locations, sort of setups for your cocktails. Different, I know you're having, what kind of pie? Mince meat pie.
Well, it's so all of the items we're doing plays on, because nobody wants a straight mincemeat pie.
We don't know what it is.
Well,
so just you could call it mincemeat and we'd be like, oh, that's what mincemeat pie is.
So from talking to Adam, we looked at a lot of the different recipes.
Adam Selzer of MysteriousChicago.com.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And who we met on your show.
Yes.
And this is how this beautiful marriage came to be. But the food's not very good back in the day.
Nor
were
the
drinks.
Oh, no.
So we decided to do our take on it.
Yeah, interpretations.
Yes. So instead of a straight mincemeat pie, it is a mincemeat pie empanada.
Oh!
That's brilliant. Ooh,
that sounds lovely.
Yes.
And I think you guys are really smart to not go with things that taste terrible, by the way.
Thank
That's
you,
probably
Craig.
A good call.
Thank you.
Well, I believe that extraordinary is the way I would describe the food at your restaurant. So I think that anything you create would have to fit that bill.
Mm.
They were just on an episode of Check Please last week.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
And they did very well.
Wait till I tell my husband he watches all those shows. He'll be very
excited. Oh, yeah. It was really good.
Yes. By the way, 312-981-7200. We're coming up against the news, but we'll still take your calls and dreams after that. Because sometimes I think people are listening because they want to hear what our dreams are. And then they're like, all right, I'll share mine. Because it's very personal to share your dreams. And I want everyone to know this is a very safe space. Jill is very kind and generous with her discussion
about
your dreams.
Oh, believe me, I'm not judging anybody here.
No.
I'll be the last one.
None of us will judge. But we have. So we have some mulled wine. We have some tasty food. I'm enjoying the Cuban sandwich that Paul has made for me tonight. Well, for all of us. We're going to share that. But you can go to 1417 West Fullerton Avenue for your own Knife and Tine experience. And it's really great food. It's my favorite place. And you brought some. You know what? I'm going to go eat while we take a break. And I'll tell you more about the food when we come back. We are hanging out with Jill Erchek live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. You know, I don't know if we ever asked Rob Martyr about his dreams. Do we ever ask?
Wow.
Not your aspirations.
I don't know.
Stuff.
I mean, we only have, another couple of hours in your show.
I know.
More time.
How many dreams do you have?
Knowing Rob? Many.
Vivid.
I had a weird one the other night.
Mm-hmm. We're listening. Jill's listening.
You know, we need to get to the news.
Don't worry, Rob. You can tell me after.
It's a safe place. We told you it was
I'll be here, Rob.
Is he like, it's a newsman? I really prefer
It was about a person that I had gone to high school with.
Ooh.
And this particular person contacted me.
In your dream?
In my dream.
Okay.
Yeah, in my dream. No, not in reality.
Right.
And we ended up getting together.
Hanging out for coffee?
Yeah.
Let's.
You guys played a board game?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then.
Played a little Twister? Or...
Yep.
All right.
Had you had that?
I've got dreams to remember. I've got dreams to remember.
This is beautiful. What is this?
It's Otis Redding.
I saw you there last night.
Oh, thank you.
Another man's arms holding you tight.
Yeah, he's a little bit sad. The song gets a little sad.
I don't care. Yeah. I'm loving it.
No, Otis Redding is awesome, and this song is great.
Are we allowed to let it just play a little bit underneath? Or...
Probably not. No, I don't think so.
I don't think after 30 seconds or something.
Yeah. Right, something like that.
Cut it out at 29 and a half.
You know, kind of changing it.
I'm putting it on my phone right now.
It's called I've Got Dreams to Remember.
All right. Aww. Do you have dreams to remember? 312-981-7200. Jill is talking about your dreams and helping you figure them out a little
bit. And they're very quiet tonight. I'm very disappointed.
They're listening. 312-981-7200. Sometimes when the conversation is too interesting, they don't want to interrupt us.
Very good, Patty.
We know it's true.
No, I understand.
We've come across this before. Welcome to the studio as well, Nikki Allen, bartender extraordinaire from Knife and Tyne, and the proprietor of Knife and Tyne, Carissa Schaefer, good friends of the show and one of my favorite restaurants, if not my favorite restaurant. Mm. It's my place. It's like I go in and I just hang out there. I've never had a place. I had a place for a little bit. With the server when I came in, I'd ask for my server. I always sat in the same table, which was a Hat Dance, which was actually kind of a let us entertain you restaurant, which you wouldn't think like in a franchise, but it was such a great place. It was my favorite.
They know me at Pepe's on the south side
Pepe's.
By me. Yeah.
I like that.
But
what's your plate? What's your what plate?
It used to be the Mayan combination, but now I get chili con queso with extra cheese, flour shells, and chips. It's so filling because cheese is just in clumps.
Do they have chorizo mix into the queso?
No, but this is, they don't make, I've never seen it made any other place like this. Mm-hmm. And by the time you're done stuffing all that calcium in your body, there's no room for a taco.
Sure.
I get it to go.
Oh, I love queso. I love that.
Yeah.
That's spectacular.
I love my
queso. Every time I sit down in Knife and Tyne, I have to have some of their spoon bread. And they got some new dishes because they have a new chef. Paul's made some really great additions to the menu. Mm-hmm. What's your new favorite thing on the menu? Oh, she's like, I have so many things. Well, the Cuban sandwich, which we whipped up the other day, literally in the kitchen at Knife and Tyne. We were doing a Macelle video, which will be available on WGNradio.com shortly. Macelle is my new favorite product. And they're not paying me anything yet. so I've actually been cooking with it a lot. I use it during Thanksgiving. I'm trying to figure out how to use it in different recipes because Macelle, they have one of the canisters. You can actually use it as seasoning, like on your French fries.
I don't even know what that is. I feel silly.
It's a bouillon and stock.
Oh, okay.
They're a company out of Australia, but all of their products are vegan and gluten-free.
Okay.
So they have chicken style, they have beef style. So if you're making that kind of a dish, you can use that as an addition. But if you are also a vegetarian, but you want the flavorings, you know, maybe with your tempeh or your soy, it does a great job with it. So we made that Cuban sandwich with a lot of meat and a bean soup with like a bacon base and so good. So it's a great, and I'm having some of the Cuban sandwich tonight. Did you have a bite of the?
No, I just was diving into that fried chicken and I'm a fan.
It's got some Dijonese. Oh, yeah.
The got crunch.
Nice stuff. Karen wants to talk about her dreams with Jill.
Thank you, Karen. I was starting to feel a little lonely here.
No, don't. Why would you feel lonely? Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Hey, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Oakland.
Oh, excellent.
Great place to live, Karen.
I actually have two.
Okay.
One was more recurring, and one was a very, very old dream that I remember from forever ago. So... I don't know if you wanted one or both or
it's up to Patty. I mean,
I would say let's go with I would do both. Let's go with you want to go with the recurring dream, second. Do your most recent dream first.
Okay. Outside my house, I would hear a helicopter and it would be, you know, whirling around, and then it would crash.
Oh, very dramatic.
But I wasn't in it. Nobody I knew was in it. But it was very
scary.
Yes.
Yeah, because it feels like you're really witnessing that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, wow, that's actually falling from the sky. Did anything else happen?
No. No. It's just...
Go ahead, Karen.
It's just very clear. Like, what's... Like, as it's happening, it's very clear. But then I wake up and there's absolutely nothing going on.
And there's nothing going... So that's the recurring one?
Yes.
Okay. Again, if I ever inject myself into this conversation, it's because I've had similar dreams, and I have, with planes. I see them just coming out of the sky. And it's terrifying, so I feel your pain on that. Usually when something is just crashing down like that, it really is very synonymous with certain things going on with your life. It's the fear of something, maybe the fear of something going wrong or just coming down, and it's maybe always weighing on you whether you're not aware of it or not. Like maybe something in the back of your mind that you don't consciously think of, always maybe in the way back of your mind, you may be thinking or wondering, is such and such going to happen?
Just like a fear, concern, and
a
like
fear general. Of something, probably, because when something's coming out of the sky and crashing like that, you feel helpless and it's terrifying. Well, if you take those two feelings in real life, I mean, who doesn't feel that? We all do. And sometimes you're not even aware. It could be something as simple as, like, I don't know, let's say maybe your child is failing in school. I'm just picking here. And you're so afraid of that. It could be something as simple as that, that you're not even aware of. So think of the things in your life that you are afraid of, and try to see if, you know, maybe you feel like more often than not, without realizing it, that something, you're waiting for that crash. You're waiting for something to happen.
Uh-huh. Hopefully it's an irrational concern. So.
Oh, they usually are. It's just our fears and anxieties. Nothing happens from them. It's just the fear of, God, what if that goes wrong? Or what if that happens? And we all feel that. Does that make sense?
We do, definitely.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. And sure. the ancient one,
mm-hmm.
The ancient one, this is like literally like 3 decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
I can see a car with, like, oh my goodness, this is going to sound spooky, but like a skeleton head in the back of it.
Mm-hmm. That's the epitome of
spooky. Like, I don't remember. Like, I can forget so many things, but then there's this one dream in particular from forever ago that is just so clear and so vivid and just kind of spooky.
Is the car moving?
Yes, it's driving down, like, an old neighborhood alley.
An old neighborhood that you lived in?
Yes.
Okay, all right. We're getting somewhere. And I assume the skeleton head is the one operating the vehicle?
No, it's just sitting in the back.
It's
window
in
the of the
back.
Vehicle.
Interesting. Do you remember the color of the car?
Just dark. Like,
dark.
Everything was dark.
Okay.
But the skeleton was almost like the focus was on that. It was almost lit up.
You know what? Cars are movement. Cars propel you forward. Cars take you places. Okay, that makes sense. The skeleton, you said this was an old neighborhood, so clearly a skeleton, people say they have skeletons of their past. So I'm thinking the car represents something in your past. It doesn't have to be in your old neighborhood, but it may be something in your past that was frightening to you. You had this about 30 years ago, you said?
Yeah, I mean, like when I was a teenager.
Yeah, when you were a teenager, of course. Then this could represent any teenager.
But when I was a teenager, but I can still to this day remember it very, very clearly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who wouldn't remember a lit up skeleton head? But what I'm saying is, you know, skeletons in your past, skeleton in your closet, that's saying, along with a car, and you said it was in your old neighborhood. This is clearly like some sort of something that was going on. Well, you were living in that neighborhood at the time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That's interesting. Well, then I'm guessing, because if this was your old neighborhood, I don't know if you were a teenager, what was going on with you then? But was there something you were hiding from your parents, Miss Karen?
Mm-hmm. No.
Mm-hmm.
No, well,
no, I'm kidding.
Hiding, not in that sense of how they say hiding now would be like coming out or something.
Yeah, but it could have been something simple, you know, like maybe you were guilt-ridden about cheating on a test. I don't know. It could, oh, see? Yeah. Don't worry. I cheated my way through math. Anyway, the point is, I think that that's why I'm in radio, or was in radio when I was employed. But that's why I think that it was your old neighborhood. At that time, though, skeleton in your closet. Maybe you were afraid of, mm-hmm. you know, getting caught on something or something like that. With something, especially in a teenager, especially your mind is.
Yeah, and plus you kind of blow things up when you're, you know.
Oh, God, yeah.
Very intense.
Yeah. You know? And it was a dark car. So whatever this was, you weren't very proud of at the time, and it could have been something very simple. So I wouldn't.
Oh, that's interesting. I've never, ever thought of it that way, but I like that.
Okay.
Thank
cool.
you.
And again, great neighborhood that you live in, Karen.
That's right. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you so much for calling. Okay. We are hanging out with Jill Ercek, and she is dream weaving. Joining us in the studio now is also Rob Martier. We've been hanging out with Carissa Schaefer and Nikki Allen from Knife and Tine. And have you had a chance to have some tasty
friends here in the studio with us?
I know,
Rob.
The friends from Knife and Tine. And Jill, I missed you so much.
You were so cute in the camera as I watch you up there in news.
And now we have Roger Badish joining us up in news and traffic.
Yeah,
and
Roger, indeed. That adorable man.
Isn't he, though? Aww. You can watch us all on WGNRadio.com, by the way, if you want to join the festivities and see what's going on. Roger being adorable up in news. We're going to be playing What's in the Box after 12:30 because we're going to catch up with each other a little bit more. Talk about Drink Like the Dickens, the event coming up at Knife and Tine on December 13th. Jill is dream weaving, so you can give us a call at 312-981-7200. And we'll be back after this. And I still haven't told you what celebrity I ran into in the lobby. I totally forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
He was on 11 episodes. 312-981-7200. You know what? Let's give away a pizza. We haven't given away too many pizzas this week. We've got a Lou Malnati's. If you can guess what celebrity I ran into in the lobby, if you listen to WGN Radio all day, you might already know. So he appeared on one of the shows during the day, and he was on 11 episodes of Two and a Half Men. More after this on 720 WGN. It's pretty late. Sweet dreams are made of these. Who am I to disagree? I travel the world. Okay, now if we're going to do all dream songs when Jill's here, as she should be every month at the very least, if not bi-monthly, I think that we're going to need that, Jill.
It's fun. Thank you.
Yes. And we'll coordinate with you in Knife and Tine, too. I think that that's always,
okay.
You know, have some good food and drink with your friends. We, by the way, Craig, if we're going to do all dream songs, I'm going to need you to pull Patsy Cline's Sweet Dreams as well. I know it's a little bit more of a slow sort of ballad, but it's one of my favorites. So.
Please don't do Debbie Gibson, Only in My Dreams. There's only so much.
Please
I can
also
handle.
Do Debbie Gibson's Only in My Dreams. Roger, do you have any requests? I know that you're a music guy. Do you have any dream?
Dream a little dream of me.
Oh, I like that. There we go. See? Oh,
that's a good one.
There we go.
That's a good
one. Craig's like, could I just get through this segment? I have calls. You've been asked. I've been asking if anyone can guess what celebrity I ran into in the lobby for a Lou Malnati's $25 gift card. I was very excited. I geeked out once when I saw a celebrity years ago. The movie Notting Hill came out, and I was at the Esquire Theater. That's how long ago it was. One Notting Hill, two Esquire. It doesn't exist anymore. And I was in line getting popcorn, and in front of me was Minnie Driver. And I was trying very hard not to lose my mind. I had just come from a happy hour. I'd had two martinis, and I was younger. I hadn't eaten enough, and I was like, don't say anything. Don't say anything. You reek of vodka. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. And the woman in front of Minnie turned around and said, are you Minnie Driver? And she's like, yes, I am. And the woman goes, oh, my God, I'm a big fan. I love all your work. And Minnie Driver was like, thank you very much. And then she turned to her friend and was like, you know, I was kind of worried that no one recognized me. I mean, I don't want to feel all needy. And I was like, oh, my God, no, I tell her.
There was your opening.
And the look on her face was like, oh, never mind. I wish I were not recognizable again.
She and John Cusack in Gross Point Blank.
Oh,
one of my favorite movies.
Yes, popcorn.
Ever.
Well, and Dan Aykroyd, spectacular.
At the end there, yeah.
Such a good movie. Yeah. I agree. There are a lot of people who have not seen that movie. I agree with you 100%. That's a great movie. Let's see if Gary's got. Oh, Gary has a dream. So let's go to one of our callers who has a guess on what celebrity I ran into in the lobby. And so if you listen to the station, you might already know who it might have been. Brian, who do you think it was?
I'm thinking you ran into D.B. Sweeney.
I ran into D.B. Sweeney. It was so cool.
Yes.
Brian, and I did not spaz out. I was so surprised at my calmness because I passed him once, and I was like, oh, look at that guy. He looks like D.B. Sweeney. And I came in.
He's got a twin.
I know, look at that. And because, I mean, you know, you see a celebrity, and it's out of context, and you're like, this. And then I walked back out, and I was like, oh, I'm in the lobby of the Trib Tower. Bill and Wendy are on right now. The chances are he's coming in to do the show. So I said, hey, D.B. Sweeney, are you here to go to WGN Radio? And he said, yes, I am. I said, I'm Patty Vasquez. I can let you in. Just as the producer from their show came in. And I came in and I kind of, Brian, I'm not going to lie to you, I kind of glommed down to D.B. Sweeney.
I'm not surprised.
But here's the thing. What's your favorite D.B. Sweeney appearance? What's your favorite role he's ever played?
I loved him on Two and a Half Men, like when he was I think Charlie Harper's uncle for that one arc.
Yes.
He was great, yeah. I listen to Ben Wendy every day. So it was great to hear him on there.
Yeah, well, I spazzed out and I was like, I go, this is going to be like the most random thing, but my dad was a big baseball fan, so I loved you as Shoeless Joe Jackson. And so it was a lot of fun to tell. He said he loved filming that movie, and it was a lot of fun. Did you know he lived here?
No, I was unaware. I mean, I know there's a bunch of random celebrities like Michael Shannon, you know, random people that live here, but no, I did not know he lived here.
Yeah, I was surprised. He said he moved here a couple years ago. He fell in love with the city and decided to just, you know, put roots down. So I thought it was kind of cool.
I'm not surprised. Chicago's fantastic. So.
Yeah, there you go. Well, thank you, Brian. Good guess. Well, you knew because you listened to the station.
Patty, yes. Patty, I just want to say I'm a huge fan. I live up in Norwood Park, so I love shout outs every time for Jeff Park in Norwood Park. So that's awesome.
Did you grow up in Norwood Park, Brian?
I'm from Old Irving Park myself, but I own a house in Norwood Park now. So I love when you shout it out.
Yeah, no, that means you're doing pretty well. Because now, do you live, which side of Northwest Highway do you live? Do you live on
I'm right at Bryn Mawr Northwest Highway, so right by Sweet Connections Bakery.
Okay, yeah. So on our side of the tracks.
North side of Bryn Mawr, yeah.
Okay, yeah, because Norwood Park, you know, like that circle, I'm fascinated by that old Norwood Park area with those big, huge houses. And,
oh my God, it's glorious! The oldest house in Chicago was up there.
Yeah, on the top of that hill. What's that one called?
Yeah, it's like a cultural center now or
historical center. Yeah, they used to have really good Halloween parties. They'd have like pony rides and everything. It was very cool. They haven't done those.
Oh, that's fantastic! I love living in Norwood Park. It's a fantastic neighborhood.
So what lose do you go to when you get Lou Malnati's, Brian? Do you get I go to Lincolnwood and sometimes I go to Park Ridge.
Oh, no, I was the chef at Cafe Sal Marie in Lincoln Square for a long time, so there's a location up on Lincoln, like north of Novelty Golf, that I go to.
Carissa, why are you laughing about Sal Marie? I love Sal Marie.
No, I don't think that was laughing.
Right, no.
I think she was very impressed.
Yeah, yeah, I was really impressed.
I think she wants to hire him.
I know. She's like, do I know him? Sal Marie was
one night I did an appearance on I thought it was going to be your show, but it was the lady from A Flavor HD filling with you, Hannah Stanley. And so I brought a bunch of food in and fed Rob Martier, and I was so excited to meet him because I hear his voice every night on the radio when I drive home from work.
Wow. And his voice is amazing.
Well, you can bring me food.
Thank you for inflating my ego. I appreciate that.
You're welcome, Rob. It was fantastic to meet you. We were doing it was last year. Me and some other restaurateurs from Lincoln Square were in your studio.
Oh. I do. I remember that. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, I also love that. I used to live in Lincoln Square, so I love those businesses. Yeah. Hold on the line. Craig will get your information for your lose, but also to hopefully invite you back for an appearance on
our
show.
Thanks for calling.
Bring us some good grub.
I would love to.
So. Good connection, Brian. Appreciate that. Have a good night. Yep. It was. I totally geeked out with D.B. Sweeney. It was. I geeked out, but I was also very calm about it. I ran into Ann Cusack in an elevator in L.A., and like my brain went through all the first things I could say and threw them away. Like, hey, you're John's sister or your Jones sister, and I went to the middle of a conversation and said, hey, you're from Evanston, like, aren't you? And like, it was so random that she was actually kind of pleased by that sort of beginning of a conversation. But yes, D.B. Sweeney was charming. Walked him upstairs, got him some coffee upstairs because our green room is in disarray, so I was very excited. I gave him my card. It said, come on my show, and hopefully he will. We have Gary on the line, Jill. Can we have another dream for you, but we're going to do it.
Yes.
Can we do it after the news?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You're staying. Gary, I hope you don't mind. We're going to hold on to you until after the news because it's time for a break, and then Roger has stuff to tell you. His dream. Did you not find Patsy Cline's Sweet Dreams? Is this what we're doing?
I have Patsy Cline's Sweet Dreams queued up.
I like this one too. Yeah. That's all right. Because we are still talking to our listeners about their dreams. Chris and Todd, you're on hold for What's in the Box. You are our contestants, and we'll be playing with you shortly. Yeah. This is fun to say. But Gary right now has been holding for quite a bit. We have two dreams that Jill's going to talk about. One for Gary, who's on the line, and another from a texter. Gary, since you've been waiting, let me go ahead and take your call. Hi, Gary. Gary?
Yes.
Hey.
Hello.
Where are you calling from?
Westmont.
Rosemont. All right. We have Jill.
Oh, Westmont.
Oh, Westmont. Also, oh, Westmont. I didn't
oh, good.
I didn't want to say it any differently. Jill is ready to take your dream. Go ahead.
Okay. Mine has to do with the war. I'm in a war zone, and we're walking on patrol, and all of a sudden we get contact with the enemy, a lot of shooting and everything. So we hit the ground. Everybody around me is shooting and everything. And I hit the ground, but I lost my rifle. And I said, my God, I can't find my rifle. And so I'm on the ground looking for it. And everybody's asking me, I said, Gary, where's your rifle? And I said, I don't know. I can't find it. I lost it. And so this goes on, and I never did find it. And then I wake up.
Okay, quick question, Gary. Were you in any war, or did you fight at all?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, then I would think the most obvious, there's two things before I knew that. This could very well just be everything you went through. Sadly, maybe there were times you felt like in real life as you went through this that maybe you couldn't defend somebody or, you know, something like that. I don't know what you went through. So mm-hmm. You see where I'm trying to go with it. That could be the obvious answer. Or I'm thinking that has to stay with you. And I'm sure anything in life that maybe you can't control, that's okay. Like your defense. What you used in battle, your rifle, maybe you feel like, in life, it could be something really simplistic that maybe you can't control, something irritating, like, let's say the train doesn't come on time. Something simple as that, you know, your rifle was your defense, and it sounds like you need your defense in that dream for maybe either something going on in your life, or I think it's just some sort of a flashback for what you were going through. So I don't know if that makes any sense to you. Because if that was the thing that helped you, and that was the thing that protected you and, you know, helped you fight, then that would be the thing that you probably associate in life with anything that's going on to be your defense.
Okay, well, thank you much.
I hope that helps.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I'll think about it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Gary, for calling in. We appreciate that. Have a good night. And you have a dream from a texter who didn't want to come on the air.
I won't even say her name then, but basically she had a dream as a kid from 3 or 4 to about 10. It was a recurring dream of a pitch black screen. On the right side was a red object like an apple, and on the other side something like a piano, and the apple would run at her. And as the apple ran, the piano music would get louder and louder. She became more afraid, and she'd run away from the piano, and the apple was darting toward her. If it was an apple, that's a bizarre dream, but if you were a kid, I think that's pretty impressive. Okay, black is black. I personally love the color black, but let's take it for what it is. Black is scary, okay? Darkness, especially at 3 or 4. Apples are very good things to have in dreams. They're red. They're wisdom. Apple's a solid fruit. Apple is prosperity. Apple is a good, solid thing. I think maybe, and it's a positive thing, the piano, I think, was just your mind putting together how the music was playing, especially at such a young mind. I'm thinking maybe you were, you know, as you were growing up, you had this to about 10 and were going through life. It's going to sound crazy, but I am crazy. Perhaps the apple coming at you was just positive things. Maybe you were afraid of them at the time. That's why you were running from them. And I think the music was getting louder. I think that was just in sync with everything going on. It was probably very scary because it would be scary as a kid. But I think maybe it was you just growing up and interpreting that would be scary when it was really probably trying to catch up with you in a good way, but you ran from it. Now, you can't say if that makes sense because you're not on the phone with me, but I hope it does. Here you go. That scared me, actually, by the way. So, I was so into Patsy, my moment.
Patsy has a haunting voice.
Yeah, she does.
How much time do I have on that? Another 20 seconds?
And come to